My name is Chris. I have a new life in Christ, and my struggle, core struggle, is I say fear of rejection. So, and that's something I've. Everything goes into fear of rejection. Everything goes into man's approval over God's approval. Man, the way people look at me rather than the way God looks at me. Everything's tied to that for me. So, Romans 5:3-5. But we also rejoice in our suffering because we know the suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So I grew up in church and was taught that certain things were right, certain things were wrong, and most things were sin. And the last part really describes my sinful nature. I'm going to speak that one pretty specifically tonight on one aspect of my healing. So when I was going to school, abortion became legal. And it was drilled into us immediately. The church took a stand. It was drilled into us that it was called murder. They really ingrained that in us for it to be true. So at the age of 20, I met a girl, and we started to date. And then 6 months into the relationship, she became pregnant. Notice I did say she. And it wasn't that she became pregnant. My part wasn't even in there in my mind. But there wasn't a discussion on whether to keep the baby or not. Abortion was the only way to go. And in my mind, it was her choice. My mind had no say. And so we borrowed the money from my dad and we went forward with it. Looking back years later, I knew that I had a choice. At that point, I really feel I could have stood up like a man. I could have fought for my baby. And we as men, we do have a choice, and we can make two statements. And just making these two statements, everything would be different now. And it was, I will be here for you and the baby, and let's have the baby. And those are the words I wish I had said at that time, 33 years ago. You see, I knew it was wrong. I knew deep down that it was a baby. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. For years, I kept telling myself, trying to convince myself that, 7 weeks into it didn't mean that it was a baby. And that's what I kept holding on to. And it couldn't be sin at that point if it really wasn't a baby after all. So I stopped going to church soon after that because I figured church was where God was. If he couldn't find me, then I would be okay. So I didn't want to go where he was. I didn't want him to see me, which is pretty messed up. And that's a whole different testimony for me. 22 years ago, I accepted Christ when my youngest daughter, Sarah, was born, 3 1/2 premature. I had hit rock bottom then, and no hope. Everything was dark. And at one point, I just figured I didn't have anything else to lose. So I kneeled on my knees with my mom and accepted Christ, and I was saved. He did, and I was saved. And stop there for just a second, because it's an easy word for me to say I'm saved, but not everybody knows what that means. And for me, it was a real realization that I couldn't pay the price for my sin. There's just no way that I could pay the price for my sin, that I could heal myself and make myself right with God. And I just realized at the time I had to have a Savior. Somebody had to do that for me, and God provided that, in Jesus Christ. And he forged the gap. He took the punishment that I deserved. And I always get, when I tell about Christ, when I try to share the gospel, I always get caught up and say this right, say that right. But the reality is, I figured out it's just real simple. Jesus was born. Jesus grew up. He lived. Jesus died. And he He was buried, he rose again, and then he was seen. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. That's the nuts and bolts of it. Soon after coming to Christ, I was taking a run, and it hit me. I stopped and just broke down crying and begging for God's forgiveness for the abortion. And he gave it, of course, and then I felt peace right away. The shame went away, but the regret and remorse hasn't and never really will, and I don't really suppose that it should, really think it should. So it's easy when I write a testimony to read off of the script, but it doesn't really show it's hard to tell you my heart. So as I've gone through life with this, it's the milestones that really hit me and hit my heart. Just the things that I missed. I've got a daughter that's 26, a daughter that's 22. I've got a stepson that's 19 and a stepdaughter that's 16. And I've watched them through all their lives and watched my daughters. I was able to hold them on my lap when they were born. I got to change their diapers, teach them how to walk, teach them how to crawl, walk, speak in some cases, best that I could. I got to teach them how to ride bikes. I got to teach them how to, I got to walk them to their first day of school. I got to watch them graduate from high school. And I always remembered, I didn't get to do that before. There was one other that I didn't get to do that with. And that's where this is the biggest regret in my life that I have, is not doing something different. I read years ago it's healthy to claim your baby as your own, and so I did. I claimed the child as my own. I named him. It's a special name for me. And my child would have been 33 years old right now. I watched my stepson walk across that stage and graduate from high school, and that was really monumental, because he's the only son that I have. And when I took him and dropped him off at A&M 2 years ago, it hit me again that I was dropping him off at A&M, which was bad enough, but not a big A&M guy. So a few years ago, 4 years ago, my oldest daughter Megan was faced with her mom's and my same choice. She became pregnant, but she chose life instead. And so I've got a 4-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Aubrey. And a year later, Megan, my daughter, did the same. And so I've got a 3-year-old granddaughter named Dakota as well, or named Dakota. So daughter's a single mom, but I was reminded by my community group, she did choose life for the babies. And they call me Gramps, and that's pretty cool. It's a little weird, but it's still cool. I don't really have a particular point of region to point out that was a healing point for me, a specific step. It was actually everything for me. I've been in region for about 12 years now, and I've walked through 7 groups of guys and once myself. And so it's just been a accumulation of everything together. But about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years into it rather, I was at Dallas. I was in between men's groups, and I'm at the Dallas region, and I would go to worship up there on Monday nights just to worship and hear the testimony. And I started looking around, and there was everybody in the audience. You had people praising God, praising Jesus, and I was just thinking, well, that, you know, they'll get where I am eventually one day. They'll be able to see that all their stuff is all fixed, and I keep going through, and every layer of the onion keeps going, you know, pulling away, and I'm done with that sin and that struggle. And then I started thinking and looking, and this is really going to sound messed up, that, you know, everybody's here, and they're holding their hands up, and they're singing to Jesus. They know all they have is Jesus. Why couldn't I have a cool story like theirs? You know, why couldn't I have been Like, why couldn't I have had an alcoholic story or a drug addict story or a near-death story? You know, pretty messed up, I know. But finally, God has a sense of humor, but he kind of thumped me, I think, on the back of the head and reminded me that, you know, forever I'd been addicted to porn, I'd been a drug user, sold drugs, abused as a kid, shamed, had my part in the abortion, and then I was finally glad I do have a story. I figured it out that I actually do have one. Felt like a bozo, but anyway. And now I understand that all I have is Christ. That's all I need. That's all I desire. I don't need anything else. And that's what Regen taught me. Started serving in a new ministry that we launched at Watermark Dallas a month and a half ago. It's called the Life Initiative. Life Initiative is all centered around unexpected pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies. We have, you know, for women that are healing from past abortions, we have women there that they can go and talk to and walk with. For men as well, because, you know, I've walked with a group of men that have the same struggle I do, and we call Forgotten Fathers, and that's another recovery part of the Life Initiative. We also have part of it for women that want to choose life, that have an unexpected pregnancy and want to choose life. We have other women that will walk with them. And we have part of it, too, for men. For men that stand up like I did and that'll say those words and that'll take that step forward. And we have men that'll walk with them. If that's anybody in here, I'll walk with you. I'll stand by you. I'll stand with you. I'll support you. You have my word on that. Just let us know. And you can go on the Watermark website and type in the Life Initiative, and you'll see, and it'll come up, and you'll see our mission statement, I guess. All right, so second part of my testimony. Doing my devotion the other day, I'm a big Spurgeon fan, Charles Spurgeon, and he wrote, I came across this, just as old soldiers compare their battle scars and stories of war when they get together, when we arrive at our heavenly home, we'll tell of the goodness and faithfulness of God who brought us through every trial along the way. I would not like to stand with a multitude clothed in robes made white in the blood of the Lamb. That's Revelation 7:14. And hear these words. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. I'll accept you. How would you like to stand? How would you like to stand and be pointed out as the only saint who never experienced sorrow? You feel like a stranger in the midst of a sacred fellowship. Therefore, we may be content to share in the battle, for we will soon wear a crown of reward and wave a palm of praise. And I felt that's really what we're doing here at Regen. Right here, right now, I mean, we're sharing our scars, our wounds, the old ones and the new ones, and we're developing a sacred fellowship here. In Regen, you know, we speak a different language. It's a language of brokenness and healing. And it's a different when I come across a Christian, and we talk, the conversation changes. When I come up across somebody that's been in Regen or in Regen, that's a whole different level of conversation then. Then it's real. And like our senior pastor says, the healthiest people in church are the ones in Regen. So let me share a few of my scars with you. So being the oldest of seven, that brought on its own wounds. I soon became one of the crowd, just so to speak. At the age of four, they just started showing up and didn't stop coming for quite some time. And then they wouldn't leave. So I soon felt like I was on my own. I didn't have mom and dad to myself anymore. It's where my rejection really kicks in with how it started from the beginning. So I remember in fourth grade, I got my first set of glasses, and wouldn't you know it, the first day I wore them to school, a kid called me bug eyes. That was not a good word back then. So I never wore them to school again. I'd hide them in my pocket, tell my mom I was wearing them to school, but I never wore them again. That's That's how much I valued someone else's opinion. I tried to sit in front of the class because, of course, I couldn't see the board. I didn't get contacts or family of seven kids. We couldn't afford contacts until I was a sophomore in high school. I could see, but by that time, I wasn't the best of students because of the glasses or the lack of them and something else that I'll get to in a minute. I was behind the curve, and another form of rejection for me. I felt like an idiot for most of my life. Even now, though I am somewhat educated, there are times that I still don't feel equal to others. It was about the age of 10 that I was first introduced to porn. The kids brought some pages that he had ripped out of his dad's magazine. And I remember specifically, it was just like a bolt of lightning that shot straight through me. And when he first showed me those pictures, and that was the start of my terrible struggle with porn that would last for 27 years. You know, I praise God that for whatever reason, he took that struggle out of my life 15 years ago, almost 16 years ago now, and I don't struggle with it any longer, but struggle with a lot of other things. But I just praise God because I wasn't winning that struggle. I found through 12 years of regen that porn is the most common struggle men have, and it's such a powerful tool of Satan. So I praise God for that. At the age of 12, I was diagnosed with epilepsy, and you know, I mean, great, there's a kid now, he has seizures and doesn't wear his glasses, but talk about rejection. So I felt the shame and less than. It wasn't talked about in my home. In fact, none of my siblings ever knew that I suffered with this disease until we were all adults. None of my family did. It was just, for whatever reason, between me and my mom and dad. They'd let me, and I'd go to school having small seizures. Nobody could really tell at that point in time, but I would go blank for a minute, a couple of seconds, and then I'd lose my place with what the teacher was saying because I couldn't see, and I couldn't remember what she just said at that point. So even into adulthood, I struggled. Even my struggle I took into adulthood, I tried to hide it. But I always felt less than. I always felt looked down on, weak, less of a man, laughed at, whispered about, a man of no worth, because of all those lies that were told to me by Satan. I'd work through my seizures. I'd go to work. I'd try to carry on normally. I'd have small seizures, and I would drive myself to work, drive my kids around, and yeah. The list is so long of all the pain I've caused myself and the fear I've caused in others. It breaks my heart. And epilepsy has been and still can be my biggest and deepest scar maker. It's produced the biggest wounds, and the scars from my epilepsy, they cover my whole body. And when I first went through regen 12 years ago, that was the first time I'd ever spoken about it out loud. And now I stand in front of several people talking about it. So power of regen, going to regen, took that power from Satan, and he can't, he can try to hurt me with it, but I know how to turn back to God now and know it's God's opinion that matters, not man's opinion. And that's what epilepsy showed me, is it's God's view of me that matters. But seeking that approval of man is where I really struggle, and I have to remind myself of that. So I have too many scars to list. I'm probably running out of time. Those are a few of the past that I gave you or told you about. There's many more in the present, and totally sure there's going to be more to come that'll give me the chance and honor to show and tell others of God's glory and how he's always been with me and always been, has always shown up to carry me through. This is your first night in regen. It's way to go. I mean, that's the hardest. That's always the hardest thing, is coming the first night. If I could just ask you or tell you to do one thing, one word of advice is just commit to one more time. Commit to next month or Tuesday night. Tuesday night comes, commit to another one, but commit to another night. It's not a last time heal all, but it is. The Holy Spirit does work, and it'll help you work through your stuff and your junk and get on to the life path of utter brokenness and acceptance of Christ and the path of continued brokenness. I want to pray for you guys. Father, I just lift everybody up here. There's so much pain and suffering, Lord, in here. And I just pray for my brothers and sisters here in Reach In, for the leaders. And I just praise you for the work you do, Holy Spirit. I praise you for being here and how you create new life and how, Jesus, you just enter people's lives and how you've shown me and given me the honor to see miraculously how lives have been changed, the things that I've seen in Regen and the people I know and who they are now and knowing what they were before. Father, I just thank you so much for allowing me to participate in that. And I just pray for the folks here that you draw them back, that you continue to woo them to your heart, continue to woo their hearts to you, Lord. I love you, and I pray this in your son's name. Yeah.